Sergeant and Mrs. Smith, you're going to love this house.
Is that a tub in the kitchen?
There's no field manual for finding the right home. But when you do, USAA Homeowners Insurance can help protect it the right way. Restrictions apply.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
All of our nieces, nephews, and non-binary familials. I'm your auntie
and
Ruth.
And I'm your auntie Gina.
And
we're weird. This show, where we take a look at pop culture and talk about how it connects to past trends and fads, because we are old and live in the past.
I have been feeling it so hard lately.
It's bad.
I went out yesterday for the first time in a while, and I was like, I'm fucking old. Like, I was embarrassed. I was embarrassed multiple times going into stores. And I was, like, looking up at my partner, and I'm like, we don't belong here. Because I'm a creep.
Yeah, seriously. It's like...
I'm 40.
It's like that old pulp song from 100 years ago when we were young. But it was like, you are the party that makes me feel my age. It's like...
I know!
Even 20-year-olds look like prepubescent children to me now. But
I know, Oh my god, I'm so frustrated because I'm like, I'm not cool. And I was. And I don't want to ever have to say something like that.
I feel...
That's so gross.
I feel like, you know, I feel like you can be cool at any age. And I feel like we're at the prime age to really imprint on children. Because I remember when I had aunts this age who were sort of loony. And,
yeah,
like, they were my absolute heroes, because you're really in your prime. Like, if you know, yeah, you've really given up. You've gone totally...
That's, like, when you have to get close to kids, though. And I don't think kids looking at me are like, hey, she's worth my time.
Oh, no. I mean, even in just the minor interactions, if you really make an impression, and you can just stay in their memories, so...
Like Tammy Faye did.
Yeah, exactly. That, well, see, I'm glad we're talking about this because I feel we watched.
The film. The Eyes of Tammy Faye. Not to be confused with the documentary, The Eyes of Tammy
Which
Faye.
Which is amazing.
Amazing, amazing, amazing.
Yeah, amazing documentary. Watch absolutely watch it, yeah. Mm-hmm. But this is the film. With Andrew Garfield and Jessica Chastain. Mm-hmm. But I do think it's very much about, like, someone to the extreme selling themselves as a product. And it's based on, you know, how does the world see you? And how does that mm-hmm. match, like, who your true authentic
who
self
you
is?
Are.
Yeah.
So, who doesn't know who Tammy Faye Baker Messner is, I don't know, but let me read a description of the movie. An intimate look at the extraordinary rise, fall, and redemption of televangelist Tammy Faye. And the only reason why she really fell was because of Jim Baker. I think. Oh, do you agree?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I mean, he wasn't the only villain of the piece.
But he sure was, like, you know what? I mean, I don't know. Like, so Andrew Garfield plays Jim Baker,
right.
Tammy's husband. And he, I mean, it's Andrew Garfield. He's a precious, sweet angel looking. Like, you can't make him evil.
Yeah.
And so, but he looked, like, he looked an awful lot like Jim Baker, like a really hot Jim Baker.
Yeah, I think And see, this is again about presentation versus reality. I mean, yeah. all of these people are trying to sell a product of themselves, and they have a very crafted narrative of their life and a crafted, like, message that, you know, it's either physical, the way they present themselves. I mean, from Jerry Falwell and all the, you know, these people that are sort of selling.
Reverend Falwell?
Yeah. Yeah.
Thank you.
Oh, yeah, that's right. But, you know, they have this very sort of, like, wearing, like, starched, dry-cleaned suits in the middle of a southern summer. I mean, I know that. I know what that smells like. I remember when those women were wearing polyester dresses and nylons, and their husbands were wearing, like, dry cleaner suits, and we had to go to church, and it was, like, 105 degrees outside, and you're like,
And it smelled like Avon?
Like, skin so soft, because there's so many mosquitoes, and that just, like, that weird, inorganic, you know, Mary Kay foundation smell. And it's like, do you think...
Mixed with sweat.
Yeah. And it's like, do you think all this is necessary to go to church? Surely you're hot under that. But...
Does Jesus want that? I think he does.
He loves it.
I think he loves it.
That's why every... The drama. That's why every... Even through the Middle Ages, when you see... Doesn't matter if it's Eastern Orthodox, Jesus is always in a suit. Always.
Yeah. He wants to see you at your best.
So, like, if you don't know who Jim and Tammy Baker were, like, if you're a younger millennial or Gen Z, this was, like, a big deal in our childhoods because they ran, like, a religious show on TV that was wildly popular. They made so much money.
They were, like, the original televangelists.
Right.
Like, you have these mega church personalities these days.
Right. Oh, for sure. Like, Joel Osteen.
Joel Osteen's a big, like, the major one right now. But they were the first, and people were duped.
Yeah.
By, they were giving thousands and thousands of dollars to,
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord Network. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord, this is going right into my pocket. And helping no one.
I mean, honestly, please Google Joel Osteen's house. I dare you.
Oh, oh.
And the churches don't pay taxes.
No.
So.
But didn't that have something to do with the movie? Because in the movie, I think it was, well, now I don't remember who was talking to Jim.
It was Jerry Falwell.
It was. Okay. He was mentioning how the liberals or something want to take away the status of them not having to pay taxes.
Right.
Because of religious exemption. And
here the thing is that so they had a lot of these huge sort of rock star preachers, and they were on television for the first time competing kind of like
Oral
with MTV.
Roberts.
It was like this the other side of like pop culture explosion on cable. The other end of the rainbow was this evangelical, like in the Reagan 80s you had like MTV, yeah. And then you had on the other, all these Jimmy Swaggart.
700 Club.
Right, all of that is coming out at the same time. And surprise, surprise, almost all of them had huge scandals, you know, of impropriety. But I think what we learned about Tammy Faye, because it goes back to beginning of her life, is that from the very beginning, Tammy Faye was a true believer.
Yes.
Like, that cannot be said for any other of the men involved in this.
Yeah.
And the other thing is that these men were looking at the church as a vehicle for a career. So it really didn't matter what they believed personally or not. Whereas Tammy was actually engaged in trying to, like, spread the gospel. Like, she truly believed. It's like, you know, when there's people who are running a cult, and then there's, like, there's people on the one end that are, you know, trying to collect people's life savings and stuff, and then there's other people who actually think that they're trying to reconnect with the earth for by planting yams.
Yes.
And Tammy was, like, happily planting yams. Like, just because she didn't exactly put it together doesn't... I mean, she's still culpable.
Yeah.
But, you know...
She was... But she, like, really wanted to spread the love to people.
Right. That's the thing. So... And I think, like... It kind of reminds me of Dolly Parton in the way of somebody... creating themselves to live the size of life that they wanted.
Yes, I kept coming back to Dolly. Every time, you know, I was watching Tammy, I just kept coming back to Dolly.
Because the real shrewd character, like, there would be no Jim and Tammy Faye without Tammy. Like,
Tammy.
She was the one that was shrewd. She was the one that understood what was going on, and she was able to read people in a way that honestly none of the others were able to do. It was just like an instinct that she had, and she had this just outsized desire not only to give love but receive love, that the extremes she was willing to go to were unmatched, you know? But I think the reason that people connect to her is because they understand that feeling, you know? Mm-hmm. And I think that's the same reason people like Dolly Parton, too. It's like they connect with that feeling like you're a little kid and you're like, that's the prettiest woman I ever saw. And your mom's saying, oh, that's... She's a prostitute. Like, you're like, so? Like... She's the most beautiful woman I've ever seen. So it's like, even though you've been told and you know it's a little bit transgressive, you're like, I just want to, whatever I see is beautiful, that's my presentation to the world. It's so, I wanted to be love and draw attention and, you know.
And they both did that.
And, I mean, it's... weird. It is campy in that way that it's absolutely sincere. Like, she, you know what I mean? It did.
I think that's kind of why she was such a huge character, is because she was so sincere. Like, everything she said she meant.
Oh, yeah. I mean, she, you know, like, have you ever met people where they've just been so nice or so supportive that you're like, what's your angle? You know, like, what's this about? Like, why, you know, and then you're just like, oh, no, that's just, they're just built different. They mean it.
Yeah.
They are really earnest. They don't know enough to not be completely earnest.
Okay, so when she was a kid, one thing I wanted to mention was I think, like, so she wanted... that I don't remember why she wasn't in church, but she wanted to be in church, and she wanted to, like...
Do you want me to tell you real quick? Am I helped out?
Yeah.
It's because she was the only child that was a byproduct of a previous marriage. Mm. And so her mom couldn't bring her into church because it would remind everybody that she'd been divorced.
But she ran into the church. So she really wanted, you know, to be part of something. And I feel like she was really, she wasn't included. And there was that scene where she was talking to her hand. Like, it was, you know, like a hand puppet. And it was telling her that she was ugly and worthless and stuff. And then she was trying to argue with it. And, like, you see that throughout the movie and everything, too, where people... try to put her down, and she's like, no, I'm not gonna let you treat me like that. I'm worth more, and I'm not gonna let you make fun of me. I'm gonna be in on the joke, you know.
Yeah, I love, there's like a scene toward the end where
with the teenagers
about. Oh my god. Which I think, honestly, you know, what I love about this generation coming up is that, like, the access to information in social media is, like, it's really sort of exposed people in a way that, what, like, there was a mystique for us where we just thought everybody feels this way or everybody feels that way. And that's just not the case. And so sometimes you really have to, you know, humanize yourself for people, and even on social media, you know, and that it's like, well, once you know who I am, you can still make fun of me, but I need you to know. Yeah. So she, you know, she said on hard times driving around, and I cannot imagine what this feels like, but it was at least a 6-year-old, maybe 10-year-old Honda Civic. And the shame of that.
For Miss Tammy Faye.
Living in a maybe a townhouse. I'm like, why is everybody's rock bottom just my life? It's like, if I get there, now I'm popping a cyanide pill. I was like, I think that's my car. I didn't sign the paperwork for that. I was like, it's not that bad, y'all. I can still make like a charcuterie platter every once in a while, treat myself. Like, cars are expensive. What can I say?
Especially these days.
Like, shit. I was like, yeah, I mean, it is sad. I mean, how far she's fallen, but I'm like, no, I mean, she's got a little condo with a little dog. Yeah. Like, it could be worse. Drive, you know, and I was like, those are 100% my neighbors. Like, if they were laughing at me,
oh,
like
I think
that,
they actually filmed in your town. I was just like, did she not?
I was like, I'll just give them the finger. Like, fuck you guys. I was like, hey, guess where you're gonna be in 30 years? You're looking at it. Fuck you.
So, oh, I wanted to go over the cast really quick, because the casting in this movie is amazing.
Are we talking about something? I'm just kidding. What we have not talked about, like, just really quickly, is whoever is responsible for set design, wig design, makeup. You did not like the wigs?
I didn't like the wigs. I didn't like the makeup.
No, they were... they were amazing. They were so accurate. I feel like you're wrong on this one.
I think you are.
No.
Because when you look at Jessica Chastain's tiny little bump, tiny little, barely there bump, like 1966?
But I'm not...
I'm like, have you seen pictures of her back then? It should be 6 inches higher.
But that was good hair. My point is that
it was good
hair.
But it was wrong.
Okay, but what I'm saying is that it wasn't like the joke on TikTok. It wasn't Tyler Perry's wigs. They had some good wigs. Those were some good pieces. They could have been styled differently, maybe.
If only the hair department knew how to tease or backcomb.
All right, and I disagree. I thought they did a great job, but I feel like they couldn't overwhelm. They didn't want to... make her look like Nicole Kidman in The Hours when they put that huge nose on her.
But then nothing. Oh, well, or her as Lucy. Lucille Ball.
Yeah. I mean, come on. Like, you know. But okay. Anyway, yeah. So I thought they did a great job. They even, like, got the Diet Can Coke. I think they sourced it off eBay.
Mm-hmm. When she's opening the can of Coke with her emery board.
Oh, yeah, and those thick nails, those, like, they even got the acrylic nails appropriate for the 80s, because my mom had those, and they were thick.
They didn't file that shit down.
No!
Why?
No.
Why would I?
No, my mom had those, like, father-son hatch of Gucci nails, like, fucking thick. And she also could not open cans, like, you could, they were not nimble. And if they broke, they broke. Like, they broke. Anyway, but, so that, I appreciated the attention to detail. I'll leave it there. But you were saying the cast
was
strong.
It is. Okay, I don't want to bring up Jessica Chastain, because I do not like her. But may I, I will bring her up. I just want to say.
And I will say, it. I'm going to say that that is your psychological redheaded nature that holds redheads to a standards they cannot meet.
Anne Shirley.
Tell me a redhead you like.
Anne Shirley.
a contemporary
for Anne of Green Gables.
Oh my god! Are you serious?
Yes.
That's your peak.
Annie.
There are no other contemporary. So children.
Who's a good ginger?
Jessica Chastain. We've talked about Jessica Chastain before, and she's a perfectly good actress.
She was amazing in this.
Okay. Well, I'm glad you said it.
I think she did such a good job playing her. I was really on the fence about watching it, or not watching it, but like taking it seriously, or her, like, I just kept expecting her to like get it wrong, and she didn't.
You know who really got it right? Andrew Garfield. He came off so easily. I mean, from the beginning. Like, you know, that charming to a degree, but not really. Because that whole story about the little kid he hit with his car and the deal he made with God.
That's not really heroic.
Like, it doesn't, first of all, it doesn't sound true, but it's like just such a weird youth pastor story. So, I mean, he does give off disgraced youth pastor energy for sure.
But I think they gave him a little bit of added puff to the cheeks, because John Baker had like these huge chipmunk cheeks and like a Joker mouth.
Yeah, exactly. And it, like, he had a very boyish appearance. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I do think that he probably is a man that loves men. I mean, I don't want to identify if he's not comfortable identifying, but.
Jim Baker? No. Is he still alive?
No. Not only is he still alive, but he is on, like, a sort of, like, Praise the Lord Network type of show.
What?
But now, his newest grift is he's selling these prepper buckets of food.
Nice.
And I've seen one where he talks about, it's a bucket called Thanksgiving Dinner. A bucket.
Oh, I really want to buy that.
I mean, I would have to see what's on the plate.
If
like,
that's
I mean,
what
not...
happens at the end of the world, who wants to live?
That's what I'm saying. You know, I know I talk about this to you privately quite a bit, but this show really made an impression on me. So, I'm totally obsessed with caving and cave diving accidents, and I've watched
spelunking?
Literally hundreds of videos about it. Yeah, so people go scuba diving in caves, and guess what? It's dangerous. But I mentioned this to say, that in end of the world scenarios, people don't behave the way you would think that they would behave. And they've studied this because they've studied people that are like at the end of a war or a famine or in absolute desperation, and they've studied their habits. So people, even though they'll need to eat something like snake or lizard to live, like they just choose not to eat knowing that they won't survive. Like you would think in that scenario, oh, everybody just eats whatever they come across, but they will not eat Jim Baker's Thanksgiving paint bucket. They're like, this is food. And you're like, no, I will go into the abyss.
If they have like a tofurkey version, I probably would. Like, it'll be tomorrow's dinner.
I will go to that never-ending underwater sea cave. Not having had that abomination in my stomach.
I bet it's good.
Can you imagine they find it like 200 years later?
Still intact.
Like a sarcophagus. Can you imagine?
In my sarcophagus.
They're like, oh, they meant to honor this one. They left her a Thanksgiving dinner in a bucket. And I was like, no, I was just snacking. But the point is that, like, Tammy Faye sadly, like, died of cancer. But I told you this before. She's the only person I ever wrote a fake letter to. And it was like, yeah, it was right before because I knew she had gotten sick. And I was like, you know, stay well, Tammy. But, I mean, and I also think that, you know, I wonder how he would have weathered the storm had Jerry Falwell not gotten involved, because there are people, even now, that have had scandals that are much worse, that they just go back to work the next day, and they're like, well, you can drag me out physically.
Yeah.
You know? And there was just so many people going down. I think that they were a threat, because like they said, it was, you know, there were people trying to, you know, they were kept suggesting that they tax churches if people are living these lavish lifestyles. And of course, like the bakers, they were like the epitome of excess, you know, like she's wearing
meat. It was very much like Gucci meets right. House of Gucci meets Tammy Faye meets the bakers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. But, and I do think, like, you know, and this is probably universal, but certainly American, which I, you know, I love that, like, the sort of ending shot is, you know, in front of an American flag. The story that if you get too big for your britches, like, you have to be publicly shamed, but if you accept that shame, then they'll let you come back, but in a diminished way. But do you know what I mean? I'm trying to think of, like, other people that have been Brian Williams.
Oh, yeah.
Or he got kicked off of NBC and, you know, yeah. But yeah, you just go on and it's not quite the same, but you know, it's still better than nothing at all. Unless you mean the sense that he was very much like the wife guy.
The wife guy.
And so, like, yeah, it was like, oh, like, were we all charmed into thinking that, you know, this could really happen?
I think what
happen,
it was, you know, was, these, like, it just shocked people into realizing that celebrity is all just a bunch of personas, and that's not, like, who people really are. But I think that people aren't really looking at it correctly and seeing that it's not just him. It's, like, I'm sure everybody.
Everybody.
Yeah.
Well, that's what I mean. I mean, that just goes to show, because it's very much in line with that thing of, I mean, it works for celebrity, but just for a lot of different people where they create a very sort of a very elaborate presentation. You know, it could be hyper-masculine, hyper-feminine, you know, super professional, like what they want to communicate about themselves to the world. And it's, like, highly curated, you know, something they've given a lot of thought to. But, like, it's, like, what they aspire or what they want to be and not who they really are. So when there's, like, something that happens that shows you that those two things are not necessarily the same, you could present one way and then behave in another, it's like hard to forgive somebody for that, you know? So it's like, I mean, I think in that way, John Mulaney is a good example, because it's like, oh, we thought you were like the guy who loved Law and Order and his wife and his, you know, French bulldog and, you know, but like that's who you wanted. I mean, maybe that's just who you wanted to be the whole time. And, like, you left a lot of damage in your wake. And I think the other guy, you know, other people seeing this scandal were just like, so this whole, you know, building a Christian nation and all these venues and these paradise lands so Christians could meet each other and be safe. And this is how you act behind closed doors, you know, like, like, it, you feel fooled, yeah, you feel duped. Tricked. Duped. You feel like a fool. Nobody likes to feel that way, you know? Because especially if you're kind of like, you know, you can understand, you know, people fall for that all the time. You don't, like, hold it against them for it. But it's like, but especially if you're sort of a critical person and you're, like, charmed by somebody's presentation and you're like, oh, man, I fell for it. I really fell for that, you know? Like, I really wanted to believe that. So, because usually I don't believe anything.
I mean, you know, like, that's why you can't trust anybody that, like, well, like my grandpa used to say, you know, you can't trust celebrities or something to that effect, that an old man would say.
Well, he used to say that?
Yeah. Kill your idols. That's what he used to say.
Yeah. Is that what he said? Did he used to say the revolution will not be televised? That was... God, he said a lot of stuff.
I know.
Did you say shit happens?
Well, I think he was the one to coin that.
My grandfather, it was rare that we were alone together, but one time we were, and he told me, but mostly it was, you can never trust celebrities.
Don't trust Hollywood.
Yeah. Because I've been there. Oh, wait, didn't you have, like, your grandfather, one of them was, like, in Hollywood? Oh, shit. Okay, that background and that essence, that makes sense. I totally forgot that. No, but so for context, your grandfather actually worked.
He didn't work. Like, he was going to.
Oh.
Because he was a very handsome man, apparently. And this is all supposed. This is what's been passed down to me, is that he was supposed to star in this one movie, but another actor ended up getting cast instead. But there was definitely the sofa, the casting sofa. You know what I mean?
Interesting.
But yes, he didn't want any part of it.
Sometimes called the casting couch. The casting chaise
wrong. The casting Davenport.
The casting ottoman.
The casting love seat.
Beanbag chair.
The casting Zen pillow.
the casting body pillow.
The casting my pillow. No, not that.
Oh, anyway. The casting ergonomic desk chair. So, yeah, he ran into it, but he was disillusioned after that experience.
That's the way I understand it.
And he said to you, as you were, Axl Rose about to get on that bus, he's like, don't trust celebrities.
And I said, don't, in my, like, six-month-old brain, what, Grandpa, don't trust celebrities? Okay, I won't.
I'll remember
that.
But
I did meet the Sesame Street cast when I was 5.
But, you know what's funny to me is that I remember very clearly in the documentary Eyes of Tammy Faye, where she did not like Jerry Falwell for, you know, reasons that are made clearly plain.
Vincent D'Onofrio plays him.
Jerry Falwell. Yes.
He's
so
good at everything.
Well. Yeah, I mean, ever since his turn as sugar water.
Yes.
I, like, can't unsee that. Any role he plays, I'm like, oh, look, it's sugar water in a church suit. yeah. And to think he was Thor in Adventures in Babysitting.
Yeah. Is that, yeah.
Fudge.
He's been in so much shit.
Yeah, seriously, but where's his Oscar? Already did not like Jerry Falwell, and he made me dislike him even more.
Because he wanted to make her call him Reverend Falwell. Like, she wasn't allowed to call him Jerry, and she did anyways. She always called him Jerry.
Which was amazing. Like, that's the thing, is that, like Dolly Parton would do these really revolutionary things, but in an OG Willikers way.
That's how she got away with it. That's how they got away with it. Was like, I'm going to let you see what's really going on. But, oh.
Right.
Tee-hee-hee.
This just my friend. Yeah. This is just my friend Steve, a gay Christian during the AIDS crisis, you know, like, on Praise the Lord Network. And just, like, calling him Jerry and just, you know, I guess I forgot, you know. But, and, you know, like, Dolly Parton, you know, Elvis wanted to do I Will Always Love You, but, you know, the Colonel wanted to buy the song, and she doesn't sell her songs. She hung on to it. And then she made our vaccine. Hail Dolly. But, yeah, that's what I mean. It's just, what I love about this movie, too, is that I love people who are, you know, like, you know how you have, like, chaotic evil, chaotic neutral?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Chaotic good? I love delusional good people.
Delusional good are the best.
And, like, people that they have a vision for their life, what they want it to look like, and they are able to manifest it. And sadly, because of, you know, crippling depression, I have realistic expectations out of life, so it doesn't occur to me. I'm like, I would never do any of these things or take those risks because the chances are so slim. But you have to be able to do things that are really stupid and risky to get the kind of rewards that these people get out of life. Do you see what I mean?
I've always been too scared, too. I mean, I'm right there with you. But that, you see. Well, I mean, I feel like anybody that's here today, of that generation, like, they had to break all the rules in some way. Especially women. Oh, yeah. Like, that's what I mean, rather, is just women.
No, but you know what I mean? I mean, just, like, if you...
Like, they couldn't go...
You have to be crafty.
You have to be crafty so that they can get ahead in life. And to be able to achieve their dreams. Like, I mean, I think that's why she's a gay icon, is because, you know, she's always supported the LGBTQ community.
Do you know what's also good about delusional good? Is that because they can picture a world that does not exist, they can make the world a better place. You know, so, you know, if you think we could live in a more equitable, a more caring, a more, you know, you can go to the lengths to make it possible. But if you don't think it's possible, you're never going to affect any change.
And she was, you know? She was, a really good example, and she followed that, I think, until her death. But RuPaul was, like, a huge fan of Tammy Faye, and they became very good friends.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think that WOW is the one that put out...
Eyes of Tammy Faye.
Yeah. Eyes of Tammy Faye. So that would make sense. But, I mean... And again, it was because she really was a true believer. Yeah. Like, she believed in the idea of, you know, genuinely putting love out into the world. In hopes to get it back as well. But, I mean, I think she felt that need intensely. But, you know, how few people do that?
Exactly.
But, would you recommend other people watching
it? Even though... I have disdain for Chastain. I think she did a very good job in this. And you have to kind of overlook... The thing I really, really appreciated is how the only time she wore, like, the quote-unquote fat suit and the face was when she was getting older. And I felt like that was almost necessary because she was older and Jessica Chastain... The jowls and all that, and then the tattooed on lipstick and that look. That was different. And I really appreciated the fact that she didn't wear, like, a fat suit or any prosthetics to make herself look like a fat person. Even though she could have, she didn't. And I feel like that added to her portrayal of her more, like, acting.
It felt sincere. Yeah, because it wasn't meant to be an imitation necessarily.
Mm-hmm. Please. Oh, you know what? I wanted to bring something up. So, me and my partner are huge King of the Hill fans, right? Did you watch King of the Hill? Like, really? Okay. Well,
I live in King of the Hill. Why would I watch it?
But listen, so Brittany Murphy voiced the character Luann. Yeah. So, I didn't really know much about Tammy Faye when they were starting out, and she had this puppet show, and she made these puppets herself. Was it like a shampoo bubble bath head? But yeah, no, she makes the puppets herself, and then they like go on. It's almost like public access. I don't even know what they're on, but they're recording like a little TV show with their puppets, and it's like very churchy Christian puppets.
Yeah.
So where I'm going with this is that on King of the Hill, Luann had pretty much the exact same thing, and she called them manger babies. And
nice.
Same thing. Exactly. And I'm like, oh my God, that's exactly where he got it from, is from Tammy Faye.
Tammy Faye.
That's not out of nowhere. Isn't that right. funny? I love Brittany Murphy. But,
yeah.
Yeah. So she was the original Luann, I guess. I don't know. Manger babies.
We've gotten to this point. You noticed on King of the Hill, you just noticed that there was a callback to Tammy Faye. Yeah. And
Manger babies?
Yeah, I don't remember the puppet. I do remember I had seen, like, you know, as a kid, like, Praise the Lord.
Yeah, that's what I remember.
24 hours a day. And it did look insane as a child. Like, I can't imagine what people must have been thinking.
I don't know, it's the 80s.
But it is, yeah. I mean, even for the 80s. But, so, I'm curious to know. What we do is we make a Spotify playlist, like your good aunt who want, you know, you can just listen to it in the car. Have some fun. We just want you to listen to some of our music. Our curated hits from our record store days.
Well, you don't always like the ones I choose.
Oh, no. Oh, not one night in Bangkok with
I'm going to tell you something.
Some Frank Stallone.
You're going to like these this week. I didn't pick out any weirdo songs.
Okay.
So, can't be mad. Okay, so.
No, I'm never
mad. So, you're not going to want to cancel it. Okay, so, the first song I picked was The Perfect Girl by The Cure. Because in the song, he's singing, "You're such a strange girl." And going on with that. And Tammy Faye was definitely a strange girl. I don't know, too. But anyway, so the second song I chose is Tammy by Nancy Sinatra. Right, so originally from the movie Tammy, starring Debbie Reynolds. And then the third song I picked was Angel Eyes by Roxy Music.
Oh. Mm-hmm. Nice.
Okay. A lot of the songs I chose other songs I chose have the word I in them.
Oh, interesting. Like TV I? I had like so many songs that I wanted to pick.
Let's still put them on the playlist.
Because I had like They Won't Go When I Go, Stevie Wonder. Just sort of talking about, you know, just the false friends that she had and her being sort of righteous among them. Then I had, of course, Personal Jesus. Mm. Pick up the receiver, I'll make you a believer. I also had, the Velvet Underground song, Jesus. You know, Help me in my weakness, cause I'm falling. Jesus.
Wow. Well, those are getting put on there.
Okay. And, oh, I also wanted to put Primal Scream moving up. And, but the one I wanted to put on there is Get It in Time, because the video was shot with cameras from Tammy Faye Baker's studio. No. And, yeah, so it has that really, like, glossy, like, RuPaul's first season.
The Vaseline on the lens.
Yeah, it's by the Black Lips. But, anyway, so yeah. I think it's gonna be good this week. It's always good. I listened to last week's a million times. Or not last episodes. Yes, it was so good. But yeah, you have, like, more knowledge and taste.
I would say taste.
Well. Okay. So, but with that, I want to thank everyone for listening to the show. Instagram at Your Weird Dance. Facebook at Your Weird Dance. Email us at yourweirdance@gmail.com. Spotify at Your Weird Dance playlist.